Okay, what we have to remember is that by the time a kid is 15, 16, 17, 18, they have all the equipment, mental and physical, to survive in the world. Don't they? In fact, why do you think there's such a high turnover of girlfriends and boyfriends in high school? What else explains all this carnal activity among teens? Well, we put them in co-ed compulsory high school, where hundreds of teenagers are confined for months in an environment offering the obvious cornucopia of delights. So here we're telling teenagers, adults are forbidding teenagers marriage, which is the proper outlet for their gifts. But then we imprison them in a co-educational environment where they display their wares while listening to and watching raunchy music and movies. And we wonder why we have problems in these schools. So denying these kids marriage tells them they are incapable of adult behavior. But we know they're capable of adult behavior. I just gave you four or five examples. Human beings reach their intellectual peak in terms of memory and reasoning ability in their teenage years. After that, it's all downhill. Epstein provides a list of accomplishments of kids and teenagers. Louis Braille, blinded by an awl, invented the first version of his reading system at age 12. Mozart was composing at age 7. Felix Mendelssohn wrote A Midsummer's Night Dream at 17. George Parker of Parker Brothers invented his first board game at 17. Teenage Walt Disney left home to drive an ambulance in France in the aftermath of World War I. Not to mention Jackson, Crockett, Murphy, and Farragut. So young people can think, they can work, they can fight, and they can love. But we keep telling them they're not. Let's think about another one, the patron saint of altar boys, Tarcisius, the 12-year-old who died defending the Holy Eucharist during the persecution of Valerian. He certainly knew what he was doing. So we wonder why our kids fail to launch. And I think holding these boys down from becoming men ultimately feminizes them or assists in the feminization of these boys. We keep telling them, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. No, you're incapable of doing that. And I know I have 7 children. I know I've got 3 boys. And it's hard when you're in this culture that we're in to just let your kids go and do things on their own because you're so afraid they're going to get hurt or get in trouble. And I just said, this is ridiculous, you know? This is insane. Since my boys can't work, we bought a membership at a local public golf course, and I drop them up at the golf course every day at 8 o'clock in the morning. Let them go out and get some exercise. And they're 11 and 12 years old. I asked first, but you know what? They're learning some responsibility by being out there. They don't need me running around behind them every minute of the day telling them to do something. We infantilize our children, and we keep them children until they're 22, and then we wonder why they can't make decisions as adults, why they can't get out of the house after an expansion of education. Let's talk about phony masculinity. The radio talk shows. You have Howard Stern and that horrible thing called The Man Show, which is now moldering in its richly deserved grave. And these programs are, you know, if you watch these things, or just wonder what possesses these people to put this on television. But the interesting thing about this is when people listen to Howard Stern, when they look at The Man Show, and they see these revolting displays of insanity, what does that do? Well, this is precisely how the feminists want to portray masculinity, as a pathology to be feared, rejected, and erased. Now, of course, real masculinity is none of this. It's not Howard Stern having these naked women in his studio, or The Man Show with belching and drunkenness. None of that has anything to do with masculinity. But there's an interesting thing, an interesting idea I happened upon when I was writing this book. And I said, well, how is this possible? How were the feminists able to foist this on society? And then I started thinking, I said, you know, the funny thing about this is, who was in charge when this happened? Who was in charge? Generally, who ran everything in the society when the feminists began their long march through our institutions? Men! So you wonder, how did this happen? Men were in charge of society's major institutions, cultural and otherwise, when the feminists began their equivalent of Sherman's March to the Sea. They ran the courts and legislatures when women demanded war on fathers and husbands. They ran the universities when feminists demanded bogus academics such as gender studies. They ran the military when women demanded the right to fight on the battlefield. They ran the movie studios, the law firms, and the newspapers. And they ran the Catholic Church when the feminists and the homosexuals subverted it. Now, one explanation for their surrender is the feminists, and I saw this in action. The feminists exploit the very quality in men they claim to deplore, which is chivalry, and a man's natural desire to please a woman. Men don't like to tell women no. I got 4 daughters and a wife, and I can tell you, you don't like to tell them no.